Come in. Hi, we are just about ready to start. I wanted to welcome everybody to this particular session. It is collaboration, cultural resources, and digital projects. This is an overview of what we did with our particular product to combine these three elements. And we will have a chance for questions and answers at the end. But if I run across something that you particularly want to question, just raise your hand. I will take them. It just is a little bit easier to do some of the miking if we have the questions at the end. So welcome, everybody. My name is Susan Clark. I am the head of digital projects at Stephen F. Austin State University. Stephen F. Austin is an undergraduate level university in eastern Texas, located in Nacogdoches, Texas. Anybody heard of Nacogdoches? Anybody been to Nacogdoches? Yay! Very good. I've had to spell it a lot while I've been here. This particular session. And we are in, for those of you that aren't familiar, we're in the far eastern quadrant, right close to Louisiana. We're in a very rural area. We serve a lot of areas that don't have that many universities in the area. So what we've tried to do is combine our strengths with some of our other universities in the area's strengths also. We collaborate with museums in the areas, schools, different departments in our university to bring this project to life. The Texas Tides program started with the need to digitize primary resources that we had in our special collections. In 2002, we decided to apply for a Texas telecommunications grant to get the basic infrastructure in place for these products. We got it. We were kind of surprised, but very pleased. And so we started with a basic website, a database, and the first level of fourth grade student teachers that came in. We also have a very big education department, so we tried to use some of those. We found very quickly this grant didn't go very far. It started the infrastructure, but didn't get where we wanted to go. So in 2005, we applied for an IMLS. Oops. Let's go back. There we go. IMLS, the Institute of Museum and Library Services grant. This one was significantly bigger, so for a little bit more than $550,000, we had a much bigger collaboration, partnership, digitization project going on. How many of you actually work with special projects, scanning, imaging, that type of things? You know some of the infrastructure difficulties that you start with then. Just picking what products you want to use, it can be very, very time consuming. We've used our money to set up a special website, get a content DM database that we put our items in. We've also used it to buy scanning equipment, lots and lots of cameras and scanners and everything else you can imagine. Our, and by the way, all of this slide is on the blog, so if any of you want to go back, it is there. Since we're in this rural area, a lot of our teachers are underserved, so the university wanted to actually use them as partners. We started with fourth grade teachers, and what we ended up doing with them was actually going out, getting a teacher to collaborate with us, to develop lesson plans specifically for that curriculum using the resources that we would digitize and that would be compliant to the Texas TEKS criteria. In the second grant, we decided that we needed to add an international component. Our community is also have a large contingent of Mexican Americans, and so we're a mission district. So a lot of our old history is from the missions, and we decided to go ahead and go to the source. So we developed partnerships in Mexico, specifically Mexico City, to pull together. We have the old Mexico City, plus we have our primary resources in our library. This is our main resource page. When we originally developed it, the teachers that we surveyed said they wanted a chronological thing, which we haven't decided if we're going to do that. We're continually doing assessment on all of these. This last year, we developed a digital projects department to facilitate a lot of these structures. Before, it was one of our web development teams, a reference librarian, a special collections librarian, all kind of trying to get together in addition to their many other duties. This last year, we now have four librarians, one staff position, one half-time grant funded position, and 12 student assistants. We're trying to pull together these resources in a very efficient manner, which it hasn't been all that efficient, but we've really, really tried. Some of our partners include the museums in our area. We have six museums in our just in Nacogdoches. We also work with one at Sam Houston State University and Sam Houston Museum, which is in Huntsville, which is a few miles away. We're always getting new partners. We work with Texas A&M Hispanic Study Department to do some of our work also. One of the things we found with the cultural portion was we needed translations. We have all of these wonderful old documents that need to be transcribed, number one, but then they also may need to be translated because they're either in Old Spanish or they're in Spanish or they're in English and they need to go from English to Spanish, so we're having translations going both ways. Once we started trying to do the transcription and translation on some of these old documents, we found our normal student translators were not able to handle that old Spanish. So we pulled together some A&M graduate students that was their specialty, Hispanic studies. So they are going through some of our older books and actually doing the digitization of the books. And so when that's completed, we hope that will be much more effective. Yeah. This is our main resource webpage. So you had, There we go. This is our main page, that one, and then it goes into the teacher resources. We are definitely, our main audience at this point are 4th through 7th grade students. The next phase of the grant, this summer, we're going to be doing junior high and high school students. We bring our teachers in to do the lesson plans on each level. We also do focus groups on each level each summer. We'll pull in students from 4th grade, students from middle school, students from high school, college students, teachers, whatever. We'll pull them in and say, how do you search? What do you want? How do you like this? How do you like this? And so our site is continually changing. We have a lot of specialty items like information literacy on the side, and we now have a plagiarism model since this particular one was done. So we're trying to also include other components. Our need assessments are also at the bottom. We have surveys and we have ASCA services so they can ask a specialist in biology or archaeology. We have about 100 lesson plans up now. You see under social studies, science, math. We have about 100 of them that the teachers have developed. And this particular one is one that has been translated into Spanish, and it shows our teacher that we work with, and their Spanish translations. We started out as that is one of our cultural things, but we also, when we've done a lot of our surveys, the teachers have told us we would really like a day in the life. Our students would like a comparison of a day in the life. Mexico, Nacogdoches. Mexico, Huntsville, whatever. The students on, especially the fourth graders, seem to really want to know what was in Mexico City students' refrigerators. What did the Mexico City student have in their backpack? What did their backpacks look like? We started putting resources up that were in schools in Mexico City that we went to, and it showed a row of backpacks, and they wanted to know those kids' backpacks. Was it the same thing they had? Was it something different? What kind of music did they listen to? Could they have a blog together with them and do kind of an interactive thing? So we're trying to go that direction because in the cultural piece, we find our students are very interested in that. We did a Day of the Dead presentation in Mexico City, and our students had lessons at the same time. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. At the same time on Day of the Dead in Nacogdoches. A lot of them had never heard of the Day of the Dead, even the ones that had the background of Mexican-American. So it was very informative. We take teachers with us when we go to these Mexico City or the Yucatan because we want their input. One of the things that our grant does a lot is utilize teacher input. When we started designing the site, we were designing it as librarians. Teachers and the students seemed to want something very different than what we as librarians interacted with. So this is one of our teachers. They went to the Yucatan this summer. They studied the rainforest. She brought back her resources and gave them a lesson plan in October. Students loved it. She followed around this iguana. We have a little virtual field trip of her chasing the iguana. The students absolutely ate it up. So that's one of them that was a lot of fun. One of our digital librarians is Priscilla Coulter. She is also a biologist. And so she goes, and it has a whole different meaning. So we're trying to also do very specialty items with it. So it's not just very generic. Comparing histories and cultures. This is an example of one of our primary documents that we have digitized that we've had in our East Texas research collection. So it's fully online, it's fully transcribed. When we went to Mexico, we saw people actually making that die that was described in the letter. So what we've tried to do is pull together a lesson plan about here's how they did it, whatever date that was, long, long ago. This is how they're doing it now. It really hasn't changed that much. You can pull in science components of the science that's involved with this dye. Our teachers have done lesson plans on science, on history, on culture. And I don't think they did one on math on this one, but they're pulling, they did one in art. They also did an art component. So they're pulling in different components with each primary document, real life, and how it affects the kids. Our teacher comments have been that the kids seem to really get much more of a feel for it if it's interactive and if it feels like it's something they might use. These are some of our translators. And they come in and we have thousands and thousands of documents to translate. We don't feel like we will ever be finished, but maybe we will at some point or the other. I told you about our digital project librarian, Priscilla. She is making up a sister site to come in. This is kind of the historical and the cultural, but we also want to add some of the natural sciences. We've added new partners from our Arboretum to a museum in Mexico, a bird museum, and a couple of in the Native Plant Center. So we're trying to always pull new partners in as we find new needs. Getting partners has been a lot easier than we thought it would be. They seem to be very excited because a lot of people don't have the equipment to do that digitization. So if they can get somebody else to do it for them, they're all for it. They're sending us CDs with their images on it and say, oh yeah, put it up. Great, great, great. So we like the idea that it's very interactive between the two of them. These are some of our teachers. What we call our teacher group is the curriculum development team. They come together once a year. We put out letters and choose them competitively. This is our group from last year. We'll have a new group this summer, different levels. We look for teachers that are innovative. We look for teachers that are technologically savvy to some extent because they're going to need it. We look for those that are very excited. We pull them together in our classroom and give them a little bit about what we want from them. We have an online community wiki that we've set up that I'll show you about in a little bit. That wiki is their community that they can talk together later. It's a closed wiki, so everybody can't put in their input, only the teachers and the resource providers. And it gets them talking to each other. This group of teachers was sitting there talking, and they all decided, okay, we'll all do our lesson plans together. You can be the math component, you can be the science component, I'll be the history, and I'll be art. I think that's what these four were. And so they pooled their energies to come up with some very interactive, different lesson plans. We also did a focus group with them while we were there. How do they search? What do they want? What do they not want? What is going to be too much work for them? We want to make their lives easier. In East Texas, they don't have a lot of resources. Very few people ask them what they want. They're mandated everything. And very few people really ask them what they want. We're also a teaching university, so this way we can tie it into our mission by pre-service teachers and teachers that have just graduated. Oops, sorry. We try to get all those inputs. In this particular group was our Mexico City teacher, a couple of pre-service teachers, and a couple of our students. So we try to get everybody in there. They had a really good time, too, just talking with each other. Surveys. We do custom surveys. We try to do three separate ones. One's a general survey, one's a student survey, and one is a teacher one. We separated them out that way because we use SurveyMonkey, which is, I don't know how many of you use SurveyMonkey or have ever heard of it or seen it. Very easy, but most studies say if you have more than six questions, slides, whatever, they're going to drop it and not finish it. So I didn't want to have to include everything in one survey because, number one, if the kids are taking the survey, the language needs to be completely different. I needed to make the language where a student would actually know what it was. Very different from our genealogical society, which is also one of our user base. So anyway, that's what we've done. And we put it on the bottom of all our pages. I would also encourage any of you that look at the site to take our survey. We love getting feedback on it. These are a few of our surveys that we have set up in SurveyMonkey. Just to kind of give you an idea, we have an unlimited license, which was really pretty cheap. And we do everything from some of our personal research that we need surveys on to the ones that are just for the library. This is our wiki. We use Confluence. Ooh, get an echo. We chose Confluence because we didn't want an open, free wiki, something like PB or PB Wiki, the ones that, because we wanted our teachers to be able to know not anybody was going to be in there talking about their lesson plans or giving them feedback that they might not necessarily want. We have 25 users. We have 24 on there now. In addition to the teachers, we also have our resource providers. a representative from the museum, six or seven specialty librarians, including reference librarians that help them with information literacy or plagiarism concerns. They kind of have all their little spaces set up, and then they just talk. When Priscilla was looking for somebody to help her on her science site, she sent out a question on the wiki and said, what do you think? What would you like? Teachers started whipping back answers. There was a lot of difference of opinion, but it was all handled very well. So they have each have their own space so they can collaborate. The four teachers I was telling you about, the math, the art, the social science, and science one, got their own little group together. So they coordinated on their own little wiki and came up with their lesson plans, because one was in Mexico City, one was in Huntsville, one was in Nacogdoches, one was in Michigan, I believe. So we had some very diverse groups. We only get together once a year, so this is the way we wanted to develop a community for them for the rest of the time. The head of digital projects at that time was on a Fulbright grant last summer in Mexico. So she went to Mexico for 6 weeks on a Fulbright grant, sent us things to the wiki every day, pictures, all kinds of stuff. So we kind of followed her, and then she got the other teachers very interested in also doing a Fulbright because they could do it also. So that was one of the uses that we thought was really cool. This was just us doing a focus group. Like I said, we did middle school, high school, university students, and we also did one with our local genealogical society. Most of these primary resources come from the East Texas Research Center, which is inside of our library but is a separate unit. They're the curators, if you were, of all of our documents. And so they keep all the stuff and we just digitize it, but it's actually their documents. Content DM is a database that we chose in the second grant. The first grant, we had had a VTLS. We had had a company that had done all the conversions for us. The first grant we had to do very, very quick, and we didn't have a lot of money. So it was a choice that didn't end up with a very good long-term solution. Second grant, we decided this was a product that was very compatible with WorldCat. It had a Dublin core metadata screen. It just had a lot of really good advantages to it. It was much more user-friendly. So we chose it. And you can do everything from, this is the administrative view, you can add collections for each of our partners, which we really liked. That way we can separate it out. Sam Houston has their own. Stone Fort Museum has one. There were 10,000 items in the original database. We ended up having to convert everyone by hand, however, which was a very long, long process. But this is just kind of how it looks. It does have the Dublin core. It does have a control vocabulary. OCLC has now bought it, partnered with it. So it's very compatible with WorldCat. And very good for digital images. There's some great, I've talked to a couple of librarians here that use it also for their digital collections, and it's quite easy to use. Up front, anyway. This is how the basic shell looks when you first get it, and then you can customize it. We have gotten into the very basics of customization, not at all like what we want it to look like, but this is what we've got at the moment. You can see the basic image. You can see your metadata, your descriptions. But the nice thing that we really liked about a lot of this was each user can change it. They can change the background colors. They can change the grid so it doesn't have the items like that. They can have it so it's held in cookies, so it's easily customizable. That was one of the things we ended up wanting to buy it for. Fonts, styles. So we've now got all our 10,000 items converted. We've added another 1,200, 1,300 new items, and hope to have 25,000 by the end of the year. You can choose it where you go in, you can pick your images and actually save them to a customized My Favorites list. You can put it right into a PowerPoint presentation, or you can save it as HTML for your own little customized web page. Our professors love this feature because all they have to do is check, 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 check projectile points or coins or whatever their particular group is, save it as a web page, choose web page HTML as the only file type, bam, they have their their thing ready to go up. The PowerPoint plugin comes with it too. We do not have that currently working, but when we will, it's the same thing. These items that they choose, you know, these nine, you have a PowerPoint presentation. So they like that a lot. We have decided to add that ask a geologist or ask a specialist or ask a whatever at the bottom of each of the pages to go to our question point. We use question point for our virtual reference service from reference and have adapted it where we have specialists. We have a geologist, we have a biologist, we have a genealogist, there's a couple of other ones. So these are people that are outside the library that have actually volunteered. So if a student, fourth, fifth, sixth grade student says, I have a project, it's a rock. It's a butterfly, it's a bird, whatever. Those kind of questions are very different than the ones that we normally get as university librarians. So we didn't want to funnel them to our librarians necessarily. We wanted them to send them to a specialist that you hear, okay, this is a seventh grader that has a geode, and he wants to know what that geode does. Now, that's what we do. But we're just using our same basic question points and funneling them. And so we've just added the links at the bottom, so all they have to do is click. And they seem to like that quite well. And when we gave lots of people those questions in our focus groups and surveys, that seemed to be one of the things they liked most. Have we gotten a lot of hits on it? No, not really. They like it in theory, but in practice we haven't gotten a lot of questions on it. So we just hope it hasn't been advertised enough. Our goal is to integrate our technologies. These are just our core technologies. We're also using a lot of different marketing ways to get this out. Since our audience is anywhere from fourth to archivists, we're trying everything from Facebook, MySpace, Wikipedia. We have a Wikipedia listing. You pretty much know it. But what we've done is, instead of us doing it as librarians, we've had our student assistants. We tell them, okay, you use Facebook a lot more than I use Facebook. Go out, set up a little site. So they have. They've gone out and set up a little Tide site. And so we're trying to interact that way with them. It's ever-changing. We continue to hope it grows. We just got another web development position okayed for our position because we've discovered with all of these, we need a developer that's all they do. We've been using our resources from our web development group to try to help us coordinate a lot of this, but it's grown too big. Too unwieldy. These are some of the links for our Confluence that we use for our wiki, ContentDM, SurveyMonkey, and QuestionPoint. And this is our basic website. Like I said, it's completely up on the blog. Love to hear any of your comments. Any questions? Yes. I don't think I've even heard of ArtStore. What is it?
Okay. it is a that it essentially is a hosting platform for art images, and so there's a bunch of art images on mm-hmm. there, as well as you can add your own content to it, and it provides an application interface used for teaching.
Sounds great. No, I have not, and I'm going to write a note and make a note of it, because one of our resource providers is an art teacher in our school district, and what she's been doing is when she does a project, they made dream catchers using string and popsicle sticks, that type of basic thing, and we'll film it and do virtual field trips or virtual things on it, but I think something like that might be really good, and she probably has heard of it, but I haven't. It's Art Store?
ARTSTOR.org.
Okay. It's surprising as we go on with this project, the various different things we find, and one of the things I've really liked coming to this conference is I'll sit over there eating an ice cream bar or whatever and meet two or three librarians that have used one or two of these products in a totally different way than I would have thought of using any of them. So I'm going to go back and try tweaking it a little bit. So I love getting different ideas and different products. Or we actually tried three or four different types of versions before we picked these products that didn't work well. And will these be with us in 2 years? Who knows? Who knows? Other questions? Yes.
This is just an idea that you might try for your promotion.
Okay.
I'm from the University of Kansas, and we had an IMLS grant in 2000 to scan items relating to the territorial Kansas mm-hmm. period. And one of the things that we were able to do was have a reception at the State House.
Oh.
When we had our launch, and then we were also invited to Washington by one of our state senators to do something on Kansas Day, and so it was, you know, it was a great way to promote.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Our project, and it really got a lot of play throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
That way, a lot of newspaper articles and that kind of thing.
That. Marketing seems to be one of the things that getting the word out on any kind of projects like this is the hardest. We did, last week in fact, was National History Day. We participated in with the Texas History Day. Several of the digital librarians went over to it, judged it, filmed some of it, tried to do things like that. We're always going out to the community to film everything from Civil War reenactments to Indian mound digging up burials. We go to camps, like children's camps during the summer, where they're doing arts and crafts that are old way. We're trying to go everywhere from modern. We're going to be adding 20th century items. So it's like we have this really big world, and we're trying to pull it together somewhat. But I really like that idea. Yes?
I noticed that you had divided into various groups, but there are lots more that they could be forced.
Yes.
Is there any thought of expanding in your German market?
Yes. We did that original segmentation. Let me go back the other way. Oops. Because our first group that gave us a input loved this chronological thing. Since then, we've ran across the problem with it is a lot of kids, especially, have no clue what happened when. So they will see the 1700s and won't know, do I need to go here? Do I need to go here? So it's kind of difficult. Also, we don't even have 20th century on here now. We're so... What we ended up doing, why we picked these topics in these years, and yes, we are. We're planning to expand where it's all of them. We also want to have this as one of our portals Then we want to have a science site that has this kind of same motif, but instead of this, it has environment or mammals or birds or whatever. So you, not chronological, of course, but and then we have the search from each of them. But and then everything you can get into from the teachers. When you click on the teachers, that's the one that goes to this page. So yes, we are wanting to expand all the way up, all the way back. We also want a cultural. We want one to go in for this one to go in for science, one to go in for cultural, and one to go in for university teachers. We don't know exactly how we're going to phrase that. But faculty. We want a faculty access point because a lot of these the faculty won't go in and use because it's not on their level. And so we need to have all of these points and figure out a way to go with it.
Yes. Yeah, and our project, what we did was we developed lesson plans. We had the, you know, the basic images, mm-hmm. the same documents scanned for all of the groups.
Right.
And then we would choose specific ones that we thought, where the letter was a little simpler,
yes.
you know, for the junior high kids.
Right.
And then we developed lesson plans around that document for, or a group of documents for those kids. And then we also did some for college-age students.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't really lesson plans by then, but they were, you know, that same
That
concept.
Same thing. And we've kind of done that with some of our lesson plans. We have one letter that is from Sam Houston's son. I think he's 12, and he's writing to Sam Houston when he's at war. And anyway, it's something that they have to teach. It's one of our basic teach. They have to teach about Sam Houston in the war in Texas. Exactly. But this way we can tie it to this 12-year-old's letter, and they're 12, so, and it's a very good letter. So it ties it to it a little bit. One of the things about Content DM is you can also do predefined searches. So what we've done in our lesson plans is on that Sam Houston one, the teachers, or we, or whoever, can pick 12 documents, do a predefined search, so they can have the Sam Houston link, or, I don't know if any of them are on here, and then just click on it. So, yeah, that's one of the things we really want to do. Yes?
Do you have an institutional repository?
We do not, but that is one of the things I am also, I've talked to several people here that have had institutional repositories. That's, I think, our next step. And I think Digital Projects is very well positioned to go into that. We also have a Teaching Excellence Center on our campus, and we've talked to them about coordinating with it.
Well, maybe you or someone else can answer the question that is... Do you really need something like Content DM and an institutional repository, or can you put the things like you've done here into an institutional repository?
That's actually our plan. We want to get, we don't have an unlimited license at the moment. We want to get an unlimited license of Content DM because we think that would be a good place to put that because you can put books, you know, and everything. So articles and books and items we think would fit perfectly logistically. So, but yes, does anybody else use?
We have both at present. And right now we have more image-based things, Content DM, more textual-based things, and DSpace. The one thing that we like about what DSpace allows for better than Content DM at present is author-initiated submission. Content DM says that they're going to start incorporating that into their product, and I think it sort of will depend on which product offers the other services first. So which one combines the two first is probably the direction we go.
Right.
But right now we're using both, and we find that both.
We have institutional repository. I'm just wondering if there's a need for the Content DM as well.
I wonder if the answer to that doesn't lie in what Rick Luce was talking about. talking about the shallow versus the deep infrastructure. You know, you want to put things that you want to preserve into your repository, but you also may want to do some cool things that are not necessarily things you're going to preserve forever. And so, you know, I don't see those as mutually exclusive necessarily.
I think that's one of the real challenges of starting projects like this, because you need to have short-term vision, and then you also need to have this long-term vision. And you have no idea where the technology is going long-term. And you just have to embrace that, that you don't know. We did that in 2002. We picked a product that did not last very long for us, for our database. And so we had to convert it much more quickly than we had wanted to do. And we don't ever want to convert it again. But how realistic is that? Who knows? So I like the idea, and I've gotten some more information on DSpace while I've been here, because I hadn't talked to a lot. And everybody seems very happy with it. Are you happy? Have you been?
In general, if you have someone that's able to customize it and spend a good deal of time customizing,
and you do in Content DM also.
Yeah.
You really do. It's got a PHP front end, and the database itself is not that bad. The front end web portion customization, a little tricky. So that's why we're trying to get a web developer, to get somebody in there that can actually do, make it look the way we want it to look, make it act the way we want it to look. Although most of it is self-contained, and it's sold as a self-contained product, there was a little bit more customization if you want to make it look really pretty. So I'm glad to hear that about DSpace, though. Any other questions? How many of you have digital projects departments? This is my own one, two, three, four. Actually, more than I expected, which is good. So I guess the rest of you are kind of like what we were before, where, this librarian does a little bit of it here, and this techie person does a little bit of it here, and we'll get a student to do a little bit of programming in their spare time, sort of thing. We found that didn't work well. It's very hard to manage. Well, I thank all of you, and if you don't have any other questions, that's pretty much it. Go to the blog, check out the website. Go to our website, take our survey. We love to get all of the feedback we can. We absolutely love feedback. Thank you.